Today's epistle, we were told rightly to walk through life in a manner of holiness, as St. Paul pointed out, that we don't do any foolish things or such like. Do we have a difficulty in practicing good works? Or do we start doing them, and then as time goes on, we start to waver, things get more difficult, you put on a different attitude, saying, well, I'll let this slide and I'll let this slip and I can do this tomorrow or at another time. But we have to be really interested in the present moment, because when we come to the end of our days, and we approach death, that is when, at that present moment, your soul is fixed, either in the state of sin or in the state of grace. You can't pray, you can't help yourself, you probably won't be able to even plead for yourself. You will stand there either in joy or in shame. So we have to look at ourselves interiorly. How strong is our faith at this present moment? Is it strong enough to move mountains, as our Lord pointed out in a parable? Now we need to pick up our faith with the greatest fervor we can build up on, because as time continues on running, the world gets worse and worse and worse. Religion is becoming almost like a story, similar to mythology, which is nothing but a story. The belief in the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, do people really, truly believe that in the tabernacle behind me is Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity? Or is it just a piece of unleavened bread? But you know, this has been a major concern for quite a number of years now. And the sacrilegious things thrown at the Blessed Eucharist is horrifying. So we must pray and make reparation as best we can. We must be reconverted back to the beliefs that we knew are the truth. And once the truth is known, there's no need for argument, there's no need for debating. You just believe. You don't have to prove nothing. You believe in God, is there anything to prove about that? You can debate hours and hours and hours that there is a God and that there isn't a God. But once you believe with your heart, there's no need for that anymore. But somehow, Satan has slipped in. He has taken all our beliefs that we once held sacred and made a joke out of them. He's changed man's mind or man's way of thinking. Back in when I was a child, we entered the church, everyone genuflect, and then they go sit down. Today they walk in, they talk, they jabber, they shake hands, they do all kinds of things, and then they go sit down. The tabernacle, if it's even in the front of the church or not, it just doesn't matter anymore. But these things we hold sacred. We want to do this. Because we still have a touch of God's grace in our hearts, saying that we still believe, though we're few in number, but we still believe. So we must do a penance. We must do reparation for this outrageousness going on in the church. And we can do that just by little acts. It's not your big ones that God's going to really appreciate. It's the little ones. The little acts of love. Little acts of faith and hope. How many times during the day do you say to God, I love you, dear Lord. Help me to love you more. In the religious life, we live what we call a contemplative life, which means it's kind of it's interior. We're trying to make ourselves closest as we can of Christ-likeness, to be another Christ. We don't want any part of the world. We change our clothes to a religious habit. We change our name. We change everything about us. We take a vow to change according to the closest we can of being an imitation of Christ, which we call the conversion of morals or manners. But the faithful, which you are, you don't take a vow as such like that. But you were baptized into that life. Though you don't take a vow, but you must still try to imitate Christ as close as you can. You must live as if you are of a royal person, and you are of royalty. For by your baptism you have become the sons and daughters of the King of Kings. J. Do we often make the act of contrition during the day? This is another thing that helps. For by the true sorrow of your hearts, the act of contrition, even before you go to confession, completely removes sin. Though you're still under obligation to confess, but the point is at that moment, you are free. And it is a good practice to say the act of contrition when you get up in the morning and before you go to sleep at night. And also try to keep a good presence conscientiously, that God is here in my home. I have to act accordingly as if I see him face to face. So we have to be careful. We have to watch our steps so we don't be deceived or listen to other people's opinions that might somehow break down our serenity or make us think ill of someone else, when in all actuality, that opinion doesn't hold any weight. Because there are lots of people that are always seem to be muddying up the waters. So we have to be on our guard, not puffed up with pride. For Scripture says, "Arise, O Lord, let not man be strengthened," which means don't let his heart be puffed up with pride. Because if your heart is full of pride, you kill the operations of grace. And then our Lord's words come to truth, that man cannot do nothing without me, which means that you can't do anything that can acquire to sanctifying grace if your heart's full of pride. And that is a serious obstacle, because it's a very difficult thing to become humble when you think you are above everyone else. But today pride reigns and grace is despised. Sin is justified. Pleasure is justified. We have heard such statements as, "Well, I'm not going to change the way I live, the way I do my things. If anyone's going to change, it has to be God." Well, that may be so, but God has all eternity to sit back and watch this person ruin herself or himself. Because by such a statement, you tie God's hands up and you leave no room for mercy until such a time as you can truly be sorry. It is now the third week of Lent. And it's pretty close to the middle of the Lenten season. How are we doing in preparing our hearts? We didn't cause a fast to move God clean of God, that we want to do what is right. And also to persuade God to come and help us. Show us the way through this dark night, the dark night of the soul. Because it is dark. The future is very uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long God is going to allow the evils of today to continue on. But by our little acts, by us trying to become more and more and more like Christ, through prayer, through penance, we might be able to persuade him to help us, to help reconvert on going down the road. Because if you remember, our Lord preached for 3 years. The Jews sought to kill him almost on his immediate appearance. And he talked in the temple, he talked in the synagogues, he talked in the plain open. And they did not dare touch him. All they did is criticize his mission, criticize his work, trying to make him a laughingstock. But isn't it strange that when his eternal Father said enough, 15 hours later, he was dead on the cross. So when God does react, though sometimes it may look spontaneous, but it's not. It's just been building up. When he has had enough, we will know. But let us always remember to pray for our brethren, those of our enemies, those who are opposed to us, those who criticize us, especially those who hate us. For by doing this, you are imitating Christ in the fullness, because you are practicing love for your enemies. So with this, I encourage you to continue on fasting and praying and doing little acts of mortification, and always reminding God every day that you love him, and that you wish to stay, or you wish to increase the grace that is already in your souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.